Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson, sitting in for Rachel Miro. California parents who want to shut down failing public schools will likely have a clearer roadmap by this fall, after more than a year of confusion. The State Board of Education voted yesterday to approve rules laying out how the state's so-called parent trigger law should be implemented. The law allows parents whose children go to a low-performing school to shut it down or turn it over to a private charter company if the parents gather enough signatures. But there have been questions around the transparency of petition drives, how many languages the petitions must be in, and how school districts should verify signatures. Former State Senator Gloria Romero co-authored the parent trigger law. She said the board's new set of rules resolve many of those questions.
They will enter into a new chapter where now parents have no doubt about the power that they possess to truly become the architects of their children's future.
Now the public has 15 days to give their comments. The State Board of Education is scheduled to take a final vote on the new rules in September. A last-minute tuition hike at 23 California State University campuses is fueling an effort to warn students of any future increases. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tintakalis says the action comes as the University of California is expected to hand down its own double-digit increase today.
CSU students are now scrambling to find an extra $600 to cover the 12% tuition hike. The fall semester begins in just 6 weeks. CSU trustees have raised tuition each year for at least a decade, often giving students just a few months to cover the increased cost. Students get dropped from their classes if they don't have the money. Elizabeth Otis is a student at CSU East Bay in Hayward. She says unpredictable tuition hikes are the new reality.
One thing I learned in economy, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
But now a growing chorus of students says enough is enough. UC and the CSU student associations are pushing a bill that would force both systems to develop an early warning system, giving students at least 6 months before raising fees. Otis says 6 months would give her enough time to save money.
The way I look at it is just like, sure, it sucks. It would be great if this place was cheaper. It would be a lot easier for me because maybe I could pay it out of pocket, but just with the economy the way it is right now, that's impossible for us to do anymore.
But university officials say any delay in generating revenue would mean cuts to enrollment and classes. The issue is bound to come up at the UC Board of Regents meeting in San Francisco today. Regents will consider a 10% tuition increase. But UC Regent Sherry Lansing says there are other options on the table, such as enrollment cuts and increasing the UC's payout from endowments.
We're going to discuss every single possibility and analyze them and see if any of them could help.
Experts say California's public university systems are still a good deal compared to other public institutions across the country. They also say at least one-third of tuition-generated revenue will be set aside for financial aid. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintakalis.
1 month from now, Californians will know how their community fared in the once-a-decade process known as redistricting. Those political maps are being drawn by a panel of citizens. Some expected the process to be winding up by now. Instead, the commission is still debating the maps, line by line, with only days to go. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
Residents of rural Lake County in Northern California showed up Wednesday with a simple message for the Citizens Redistricting Commission: redraw our congressional district. They wanted out of a district with Yuba County and into a district with Napa. The men and women on the commission seemed sympathetic, and after much discussion, on board with the change.
You have to either go for it or you don't go for it.
Yeah. I think we should go for it.
I think we should go for it.
But a few minutes later, they were confronted with the data. The populations being moved around are not equal, and congressional districts by law must be equal. Giving Lake County what it wanted would cause a ripple effect from the Golden Gate Bridge to the Sierra foothills. And with that, the proposal was dropped. With every community seeing itself as special, the job isn't easy, says Commissioner Gabino Aguirre of Santa Paula.
We can't please everybody, and the center of the universe concept is something that everybody holds dear to their heart. There are going to be some folks that are not going to be happy with the maps, and they will continue to come to us and say that.
That kind of painstaking give and take is what makes redistricting so hard. And time is running short. In fact, so many choices remain that the citizens panel canceled its release of a new set of draft maps in favor of more deliberation through the end of July. Some communities are quite happy with the commission's work, while others say the proposals are nothing short of outrageous.
They have completely wiped out two seats, and these are seats in African-American communities.
Former Congresswoman Diane Watson represented her L.A. district for 8 years in Washington. She traveled to Sacramento Wednesday to tell the Redistricting Commission that by gutting her old district and others, it's failing to follow the law.
The net result is only one African-American seat. The Voting Rights Act was passed to protect us.
The Federal Voting Rights Act was designed to protect the rights of minority voters, and it's driven the commission's work. But what federal law doesn't answer is what to do when multiple interests are in one place. How to balance each district's makeup of African Americans with Latinos or Asian Americans. Paul Mitchell is a Democratic political consultant who's been analyzing the proposed maps. He says so far the commission has sidestepped several tough choices about where to place political lines.
The biggest hurdle is that they have not been willing to really confront each other, whether it's crossing the Bay Bridge or dealing with how many African American seats there's going to be in Los Angeles or what happens with Imperial County? Does it go to San Diego or Riverside?
When the legislature drew political maps, issues not resolved by the law were resolved by political horse trading. Party politics is not part of the work of the 14 men and women on the panel, selected through a process laid out by the voter-approved Proposition 11. But there are commissioners with very different views. Some are political, some are regional, some are personal. Those differences must be ironed out soon. The final maps for every congressional and legislative district are due August 15th. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Details on the draft maps and more are on John's blog, Capital Notes. You'll find a link at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Thursday, July 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.